today's edition. Oh, we're talking about spying, illegal sign stealing, in-person scouting, and all the good allegations that are coming out. Plus, we break down interesting games, the games of the week, make some selections, have some fun, and we got a heck of a story coming out of Montana, too.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
You're the one that watched the guys working out on Zoom. Oh, you're the one that had, you know, Uncle Billy in the 300 section filming the side. All right, like you're the only one.
Russ Gellinger.
The honorable code, because we all know that the football coaches, and my dad is one, are also honorable and stick to the ethics, right?
And SI's Pat Forty.
Yeah, and you tell them, hey, you know what? That UNLV could be pretty tough. We're going to need you to go out to Vegas. We're going to need you to, you know, get a ticket to the game, bring your camera, train it on the sidelines for the program.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
I welcome to the pod. Well, well, well.
We haven't even said anything. Pat's cackling.
I know. This is just
that kind
much.
Of morning. That kind of morning.
Nothing like a little illegal sign stealing operation in Ann Arbor to brighten
everyone's
day.
We have
the
number two team in the country. There we go.
Who hasn't had
Move
to play
along.
Any?
Nothing to see here.
Who signs you stealing? Your opponents suck.
Yeah.
Quick background on today. We don't, you know, we'll take you behind the scenes. We don't like to be too self-indulgent here. Actually, we do. But we'll pretend not. We'll have some false humility. We've been working on this story a little bit this morning, and then we tried to tape, but we couldn't, and we're getting calls. So finally, we just had to wait to bring you all the gory details and glorious comedy of the NCAA investigating the University of Michigan in an apparent sign-stealing operation. The Big Ten has confirmed it. The Michigan has confirmed it. Michigan State, I think, told The Athletic that they were presented with credible evidence that Michigan had stolen signs across the year. Ross and I reported multiple schools thought that they had their signs stolen by the Wolverines this year. On and on it goes. Couple interesting things before we get started. It is not against the rule book to steal signs. That makes sense because I kind of feel like if you're throwing signs to run a play up in front of 80,000 people, your expectations of privacy are kind of shot, right? So you can steal the signs. You can't use electronic transmission during a game to relay the information to the play. It's a little awkward how it's written. What we think, there's many details come out, is at issue is schools are not allowed to scout opponents in person. You cannot send an assistant coach, a scout, anybody at your department to another school and watch that team play the week before, all season, all of that. This was like cost-cutting move back in the 90s, because as you imagine, Alabama would have like 12 guys at every game.
Mm.
Also, it would fill up. They'd have to build another press box, all that type of stuff. So potentially it involves Michigan getting the information through a vast network, which is what The Athletic reported, of who knows what. Are these staffers? Doesn't seem likely. Harbaugh family members? Probably not. Was like John Harbaugh on Saturdays putting on like the Bobby Valentine mustache and trying to sneak into stadiums? Probably not. Was it just friends of Michigan fans? What was going on?
Friends of the program, Dan.
Friends of the program.
Staked out in the top of the bleachers at Nebraska and UNLV. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Rutgers. Stakeholders, right? Stakeholders.
Stakeholders. There's a good
term. Give enough money to our NIL collective, we too will employ you as a scout.
Yeah, and you tell them, hey, you know what? That UNLV could be pretty tough. We're going to need you to go out to Vegas. We're going to need you to, you know, get a ticket to the game, bring your camera, train it on the sidelines.
We need to know the signs. Yeah. A lot still to come. Ross, what else am I missing from this report? And then I'll get Pat's sure to be entertaining reaction.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little limited on specifics and details. And I think part of the limitation on that is because this is all fairly new and fresh. I think the NCAA probably really just, I mean, I'm assuming some of this, that the NCAA just started its investigation fairly recently. I wouldn't think the NCAA would have known about this weeks ago and held it in until Wednesday afternoon, which is when they informed the Big Ten. So this is all fairly new. So we're a little bit limited on information. And as we all know, the NCAA, at least in certain cases, doesn't like to give out and distribute details on investigations. So we don't know a whole lot. But again, presumably, Michigan was sending somebody, stakeholders, to these games to scout them and steal signs and maybe even record an opposing team's signage. You know, last night I gave a couple calls to some coaches that had played Michigan and they didn't know anything about the investigation, but let's just say they were not surprised. One of them knew pretty early on during their game with Michigan that their signs were had been known to the other staff. And I think another coach had mentioned that leading up to the game with Michigan, they were told by another staff, they were warned, change your signs, change your signs from previous, but it was too late in the week to do that. So the funny thing about all this is they've got a team there. It's probably the best he's had, right? I don't think they need to steal signs for 95% of their games.
Well, it might be why they're looking so good. But if it doesn't help, why do it? I don't know. Right. We don't know that they did it. So it is an investigation by the NCAA. The NCAA's track record of late has not been particularly good at uncovering actual violations at the end. So we'll see what the heck comes up. Michigan deserves a presumption of innocence and then a mountain of mockery. That's how I would put it. I believe that's a legal concept. Pat, your thoughts on this? And you've done actual reporting in the past on sign stealing too. So what do you think of Michigan how fun is this scandal?
I'm here for the mockery, baby. I'm here for the mountain of mockery. Is that you are Michigan. You have played in consecutive college football playoffs. You have won consecutive Big Ten championships. And let's just presume that that's not because you've been stealing signs. Let's presume it's because you were actually good and had better players and executed better. And so your opponents this year have been East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, Rutgers, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. I don't think there's a winning record in that group. Oh, Rutgers. Rutgers has a winning record. But if you're stealing signs against them, if that's the case, if this is proven to be true, then you're just like enculturated to cheat. I mean, that's just your de facto way of doing business, your default way of doing business. And if you're doing that while you're already under investigation for previous alleged cheating, ignoring the NCAA rules for recruiting context during the COVID dead period, for having too many staffers on the field, then there's one way to look at Michigan, that y'all just are used to cheating. Now, we'll see how this plays out, but it's a really wild look for a team that's this good. And yeah, maybe that's why they're that good. Maybe that's why they've beaten Ohio State. Maybe that's why the second half against Ohio State the last 2 years has been gangbusters, because they had to get the signs first from the first half. I don't know what the case is there. But look, there's a reason, and there have been reasons for years, why coaches are wildly paranoid. Why they cover their mouths when they talk into their headsets, why they have windscreens covering practice fields, why they scout around surrounding areas to make sure nobody's watching, because everybody's there, because people cheat, because that's why, because this is de facto the way business gets done in a lot of places in college football, college basketball, as a matter of fact, too. I vividly remember one time a high-level team coming into Freedom Hall to play Louisville in basketball. And they were doing their walkthrough the day of the game. And the first thing the coach did was dispatch the strength staff and his own security detail to scour the entire arena for spies. Go through the walkways, go through the concourses, check the upper deck, everything. And then during practice, what were those guys doing? They weren't watching practice. They were just looking around for spies the whole time. So this is the world that college sports and probably pro sports lives in. And if you get caught, there's not much excuses. You just say, yeah, we cheated. We'll see where this goes, how it turns out. But good Lord, what a wild, yet another wild turn of events with Michigan football.
Yeah, speaking of spying and coaches and paranoia, there's this, there's a lot of these stories, but they're around the Mississippi State practice field, there are these huge, tall pines, some kind of fir pine trees. When I was in school there, they were much shorter. Because they were planted fairly recently when I enrolled in school there in 2002 by one Jackie Sherrill in the late 90s or so, because he was paranoid that Ole Miss was spying on his practices. So he's planted these trees that were at the time like 5 foot tall, and now they're huge, and now they surround the practice field. So, yes, the paranoia with coaches. I have two quick points about this. First of all, gambling. I mean, how does this, that's an interesting, right? How has this impacted the gambling in the lines and point spreads, thinking back on all their games and their future games? And how long will it take in a season in which Michigan's number two and arguably the favorite to win it all? How long will it take to get to close the investigation and get penalties?
We don't even know what the penalties would be, right? I mean, that's kind of undefined.
Does not lay them out in the rule book. And I look through the bylaws and the manual. It simply says you're not allowed to in-person scout. There's no penalty for stealing signs. Again, this is embarrassing. I don't know what they're going to be able to even get them on a penalty. I think that's the thing. And like, I am not excusing Michigan, because if they were sending people off to film the sideline, we don't know, but I mean, something was happening. I'm assuming the NCAA, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here, that they're not just coming up with nothing and taking a shot like this at number two in the country.
You would think, but okay, you never know.
You never know, because Michigan State has said, well, we saw credible. The Big Ten's taking serious. So there's some checks and balances. This isn't just like, well, they're cheating. I mean, because you have altered the narrative of the season with this.
Yes.
Like this, just the investigation is something. So, and by alerting other opponents. So something's going on. I think you have a right to assume. Now, philosophically, I think this should, none of the, I don't, I just don't, it, you should, everyone's stealing the signs. Again, you have no presumption of privacy in a stadium, but whatever, you shouldn't be doing this. This is the violation, but I don't know if there is any penalty. So, and I don't know how they wrap it up, and I don't know what they do. Like, can you just sit there and suspend Jim Harbaugh again? Do we even know if Harbaugh, like what's his involvement? Like there's so many unanswered questions. It takes them, 6 years on the Kansas basketball. Are we going to get this done by kickoff Saturday night in East Lansing?
I don't think so.
Also, someone, Pat, you said Michigan cheats. I have a statement here from the University of Michigan. It says, at the University of Michigan, we are committed to the highest ethical and integrity standards for all members of our community. So clearly you are wrong.
No,
wrong.
I stand correct. If they've got a statement that says that they stand for the highest standards of ethical integrity.
The statement is good. The investigation is ongoing and will not impact Saturday's game. Yeah, tell it to the Spartans when they're like running into a blitz.
I can't imagine what Spartan Stadium is going to be like Saturday. Oh my! It was already, look, that was an extremely charged atmosphere given what happened last year. Now, are you kidding me? This is going to be off the charts.
Do we know, have we ever had this before? Have there ever been sanctions levied against a program for in-person scouting before?
To the best, I have not heard of any.
I couldn't find anything. Yeah. I remember they came up with this back in the 90s, and it was a cost-saving deal. And I remember some coaches I knew were quite happy because they hated having to go scout. And, you know, it was like, I remember basketball coaches having to go, there was some kind of rule where you could only scout so many games up front of, like, your game, but they were using a trick to scout. This was basketball. So, like, let's say, and I'm let's say these are not the two schools. Let's say it's Ohio State and Indiana, and Ohio State wants to scout Indiana, but they're not playing until February. There was like a time frame. You couldn't go in November, but they were both playing like marathon basketball. It's like our second reference to Marathon Oil or Athletes in Action. So they went and scouted. They're technically scouting like Athletes in Action, which of course is absurd because who the hell cares? But like, so they were doing, and coaches were just tied. So it wasn't those two schools. I'm just using it as an example. They don't want to do this. They don't want to scout. But like the NBA, the NFL has all scouts. You can be there and you can watch, and you can watch all this, all these things. So it's a cost saving move. So you know, a lot of this is just, I'm guessing there's a whole bunch of this going on, but it doesn't really matter. It's Michigan's the one that's under investigation, and you're the one that may or may not have gotten caught, and so. Guess what? You got to deal with it, whether or not everyone's doing it or not. I mean, Pat wrote a whole story about Clemson was famous.
Yeah, he wrote a great story about Clemson.
Ohio State literally huddled during a playoff game because they knew Clemson had stolen all their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Or they suspected.
Yeah. Notre Dame did the same thing. The day the game I wrote about was before Clemson played Notre Dame, and Notre Dame said, yeah, we're going to huddle, which we don't normally do because of that. And they had a whole alleged operation for how they would do it. They had, you know, GAs up in the box who would be watching and then like plugging stuff into a laptop with a guy that's out in the hallway with the laptop and then transmitting it down saying, this is the signal, this is what they're coming with. And that was the allegation of how Clemson did it. But Clemson was supposedly had a small army working on sign stealing, which was, again, not illegal, but nobody would admit to doing it because it's like, no, we don't do that because apparently they're
code.
Less than honorable. Yeah, right. Yes.
Yeah.
The honorable code, because we all know that the football coaches, and my dad is one, are also honorable and stick to the ethics, right?
Again, that's why they cover their mouths, because they're all trying to do it.
Part of what we heard wasn't just that they were scouting teams on the schedule, but potential playoff teams.
I know. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Somebody contends that Michigan, just reading my replies, which are
so
train wreck. But so they were hilarious. But one of them contends that Michigan did this with conference opponents and nobody else, which explains the performance against TCU last year in the playoff, they say.
Well, maybe they're not making that mistake again.
Yeah.
So it's a couple funny things. Obviously, everyone goes with the Belichick comparison, you know, and the Harbaughs were the biggest critics of Belichick, which is pretty interesting. Then there's the whole bit. Does this push Jim Harbaugh back to the pros, where there might be an opening in Foxborough? And then does Michigan try to hire Bill Belichick? You know, just try to do it, swab it. I don't know. There's a million. The jokes online are terrific on this. Anyway, we'll make it a little bit of football. What other than the scene being wild, does this impact Michigan Saturday and going forward?
Well,
I'm guessing they got to stop the steal. If they're stealing,
their opponents, they probably already stolen signals for some of their future opponents, So their opponents need to change those signals before playing Michigan. That's for sure.
I mean, if they lose now, it's like, oh my God, this is embarrassing.
But this is, you know, like, I'm sure this is crash course for GAs and assistant coaches at all the schools on their schedule. Like, we got to change everything right now, you know? And so the reaction in East Lansing and everywhere else, especially East Lansing, very time sensitive because they're playing in 48 hours or so, a little bit more than that. But yeah, you've got to, like, you're totally on guard now. And you also wonder, is everybody else doing this too? And do you now, are you like pulling, you know, tell Charlie he's not making that trip over to West Lafayette anymore to, you know, get us information.
Yeah. Cancel the trip.
Like when all the FBI basketball scandal broke and all the coaches went on WhatsApp and quit texting agents on their phones and stuff. This might be that. Like you're no longer going to have your video surveillance team out and about in opposing stadiums here. But I mean, this is a major distraction at the very least for Michigan on a Thursday before a rivalry game. They should absolutely pound Michigan State. They may still pound Michigan State, but this is a grenade in the foxhole, so to speak, where you really aren't ready for one.
Okay, not to, you know, we got to see what this is all about, but
yeah.
How big of a cloud does this cast over Michigan and what they've accomplished? Not just this year, but the last couple. I think a lot of fans are going in that direction. They didn't just decide this year to do it, or did they, or not? I mean, we just don't know anything, but anytime, I mean, the Patriots still deal with it, right?
I was just going to say, I mean, Spygate was like 2007. It's 16 years later, and people still make the Spygate and jokes about the Patriots. So, you know, when you've watched a team, Michigan, rise up and win relentlessly for the last 2.5 years now, it gives all your rivals, all your enemies, and a lot of really neutral people an opportunity to say, huh, were they that good, or was this all just because they were spying and cheating? You know, I would tend to think, given the number of guys they've got in the NFL playing really well right now, that it's mostly about talent and good coaching and guys that are going to get drafted this next draft. But you've opened yourself up to a level of doubt and criticism that you maybe really didn't need to. You know, certainly you didn't need to beat UNLV and Bowling Green and Indiana and Rutgers. But, you know, who knows if you know, do we need to go back and, you know, Zapruder film the Ohio State games the last 2 years and get, you know, surrounding footage of everybody in the stands and everything else? I guarantee some Ohio State fans are doing that right now. I guarantee it.
Well, they've won 29 of their last 32 games, going back to the season opener of 2021. So yeah, I think there's going to be some questions on, yeah, how far back has this gone and what impact this had, and then looking to the future and what impact this will have on what they do the rest of this year and potentially in the playoff and in the Big Ten championship game. All of it kind of comes, in a way, under a little bit of a cloud, and we've seen the old asterisk before on championships and seasons and things like that. I wouldn't think this would go to the level of games being what do they call them,
vacated.
Vacated, which I hate the vacated wins, but anyway, but oh my God, you wouldn't think this would go to that level, but. Yeah, it's interesting. There's been plenty of stories written about sign stealing. And Pat's story a few years ago was great with Clemson, but like just last year, I think the Athletic wrote a story about sign stealing. I think, or a portion of it was about sign stealing, and I think there was mentioned in there from an assistant coach. I think maybe from Ohio State, but it was mentioned in there, man, we couldn't understand, but Michigan had all of our signs on both sides of the ball, the anonymous coach said. And now we see why.
Yeah. Like I said, this is Michigan needs to, like, if they lose now, it'll always, it's, this is where we're at. And I don't know. And who knows what details are coming. So anyway, never a dull moment with Jim Harbaugh. Someone pointed out, like, for a school that they seem to get caught on all their cheating.
Maybe, like, they're bad at it.
They're just bad at cheating. You know? Yeah. Like, it just seems like you're the one that you're the only one that got caught other than Arizona State meeting with recruits during COVID, or you're the one who had too many analysts helping in practice. Oh, you're the one that watched the guys working out on Zoom. Oh, you're the one that had, you know, Uncle Billy in the 300 section film in the side. All right, like, you're the only one. Leaders and the best, right?
I am the youngest of three brothers. My oldest was a do-gooder who never did anything wrong. Middle brother, not so much. And I was somewhere in between. But I got in more trouble than my middle brother because I was bad. I would get caught. I always got caught. He never got caught. This was kind of a constant running joke among us. Well, maybe I was the Michigan of our family.
All right. Well, ongoing saga, to say the least. All right. So we will do race of the case in a little bit. We're going to do, obviously, Penn State, Ohio State, Tennessee, Alabama. Both of those games we talked about at length in the last episode. So if you're tuning in, you're going, I want to hear a little bit more about the narratives, the details, the pressure. Go back to the last, the Tuesday pod. We talked both those games extensively. Obviously, when we have an allegation of sign stealing at Michigan, we're going deep. We're going deep. Okay. If you know anything about this podcast or any school.
Tossing out the rundown and any starting school. Over.
Yeah, any school. We love cheating. We will also pick Duke, Florida State. We will pick Utah, USC. We'll pick Clemson, Miami, and we have a lot. We started doing this. I think it's kind of fun. What games other than those? Because we have our fans, people love college football, love all of college football, or they get into different games. What games out there, gentlemen, also interest you other than just ranked versus ranked, which is pretty awesome. We got four of them this week. Anyone got a game they're fired up for?
I certainly do.
All right, go for it.
Floyd of Rosedale. It's going to be a pig of a game. Iowa, Minnesota, the battle for the bronze hog. The over-under total is 32.5, which if you pay attention to totals, is just comically small. I mean, minuscule, and it probably should be. In fact, I would take the under because this has 11-10 with four safeties written all over it.
Yeah, that's a 17-14 game.
Yeah,
which is a fairly functional football game.
I know. Sounds kind of high scoring for these teams. My favorite stat of last week, you know, we've talked a lot about Iowa, and we should, and we'll continue to. Missouri's punter threw for more yards than Iowa did last week. Luke Bauer, fake punt, 39-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. Iowa Hawkeyes, 37 yards passing. Beautiful.
Not bad. Ross, got a game you're interested in?
By the way, I think that 31.5 over under is maybe tied or it's one of three games in the last like decade or so with an over under that low. The other two games also involve Iowa, of course. Of course. So I'm looking forward to that one too. I got a couple here that have a little drama to them. I think both of these games. Texas at Houston. So you guys remember when Texas and Oklahoma announced they were going to the SEC, there was a sense that in their final year in the Big 12 was going to overlap with the newbies coming in, like including Houston. And there was a thought that when conference schedule structure came around, Bob Bowlesby, the former Big 10 or Big 12 commissioner, was angry enough at the Longhorns that he was going to make them go play at Houston. And lo and behold, here we have it, 4 p.m. Saturday, Texas at Houston. Should be a fun one. And then the Hugh Freeze Bowl down at Auburn. Ole Miss at Auburn. Hugh Freeze hosting his old team, and Lane Kiffin coaching his team. And we all remember what happened to Lane over the offseason. These were the two finalists for that Auburn job, Lane and Hugh, and didn't work out with Lane for reasons that I think, you know, go back to his family and gets into some interesting things. And so Hugh was named the coach, and here we are. They meet on the field, and Auburn is a 6.5 point underdog. And it's a big game in the race. I mean, Ole Miss is right there in the SEC West race.
Speaking of some all-time great scandals in pod history, Hugh and his situation. He was in favor of in-person scouting. I think he
oh boy. Dan.
I mean, what is Mel Tucker think? I got to go back. I mean, what is Mel Tucker sitting around going, oh, y'all mad at me, huh? At least.
Apparently, according to his lawyers, he's sick or ill or something, maybe hospitalized. Well, I don't know.
Oh, is he? I hope that's not the case.
That, well, I think his lawyers released that he's ill. He's got a medical condition of some sort. I don't know.
All right. I'll give you one. Toledo, 6-1. Miami, Ohio, 6-1.
How about that? Mm.
Miami, Ohio's only loss was to the other Miami in the Confusion Bowl. Toledo's was at a late loss on a field goal to Illinois. These are two really good MAC teams. They're playing very well. The MAC could put out a good game, and this should be a highly competitive football game down there in Oxford, Ohio, at Jaeger Stadium, Fred C. Jaeger Stadium. Toledo's favored by 1.5. I'm interested to see what that. These have established themselves as the current favorites in the MAC, and so anytime we get some good MACtion, I'm going to take that one. You got another one, Pat?
That's a good one. Yeah, Oklahoma State at West Virginia. Interesting there. Oklahoma State has righted the ship. Won 2 straight, beat Kansas State and Kansas after looking just terrible. They get blown out by South Alabama. I mean, they were in bad shape, and now they've won 2 in a row. West Virginia, we know, has righted the ship overall on the season. They were, you know, a lot of people thought that Neil Brown would be fired by now. Instead, he's 4-2 with a loss on a Hail Mary to Houston. So winner of this game comes out feeling, hey, you know what? We're pretty good and we're going in the right direction. Loser, you've taken a step back and we'll see where it goes from there. But that's a good, like, upper middle class Big 12 game.
There's another one I'm interested in is how Oregon will respond after last week. They host Washington State, and Washington State is all of a sudden on a slide here. But the Ducks are coming off of such an emotional game, probably in a lot of ways should have won that game at Washington. And how will they respond? Because they're kind of still in this thing. That's in Eugene. Ducks are a 20.5 point favorite, which seems high.
I'm interested in TCU at Kansas State. Loser of this game, the season is a massive disappointment. Yep. TCU's, coming off a national championship game appearance. I don't think they were expecting to be, you know, totally as good, but they have dropped games at Iowa State and to West Virginia. Those are not games they were expecting to win. They just came back with a nice win over BYU. Meanwhile, K-State, who I thought would win the Big 12, loses a tight game at Missouri and then a really tough Friday night loss at Oklahoma State. To get a third loss at this point, like TCU's 4-3. They go 4-4. They're heading to the bottom of the Big 12. That's a bad season, especially considering last year. And in K-State would be knocked completely down on a highly anticipated season. So it's not so much whoever wins, it's whoever avoids the loss Saturday night out in Manhattan, out in the Little Apple. So that one kind of interests me.
Rematch of that great Big 12 championship game from last year.
That too. I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah.
And both of them have kind of moved on to different second quarterbacks now. Injuries and or ineffectiveness caused some of that. But that is a really interesting one.
All right. The other one I had was James Madison, who's 6-0 and is not bowl eligible because of NCAA bylaws. Yeah. You have a transitional period. They're trying to stop teams from just jumping to FBS from SCS. But James Madison has proven to be very good. They're visiting Marshall, who's 4-2 and has had a pretty good season. But they're on a 2-game losing streak after NC State and Georgia State. So, you know, that's a pretty interesting game to see. If James Madison keep that up, or Marshall can get a quality win over this team. I think they've included their attorney general, everybody, to try to get this this rule done, but didn't happen. Anyway, a lot of good games out there, no question. Couple interesting stories. Tulsa, before their game Saturday, is going to attempt to set a world record for the world's largest beer tasting event. Actually, it's Thursday's game, not Saturday. So by the time you listen to this, you may have already heard it with Rice. Each participant is required to taste three beers. This is from Brett McMurphy. And they are guided by a certified, is it a Cicerone? Is that, what is that, a beer expert or something?
I have no idea.
That's what it says on this. Maybe I'm
call a beer expert a beer expert.
Cicerone is a beer professional.
Okay.
They have they recognized for their beer skill and knowledge. Well, this is official? I've been training on this since I was like 12.
Yeah, right. Where's my I am a Cicerone. I'm here to tell you. I am. Like I don't have any official like certificate, but I am one.
What a thing is this? You just got to pay a fee, right? It's like when you become a minister to marry people. Anyway, the current record is 1,243 people tasted three beers in one time in Barcelona, Spain in July of 2022. Tulsa doesn't draw quite like, you know, Oklahoma, but I think they'll be able to get that done. So hope everybody enjoys the three beer taste.
I'm doubtful. Tulsa, you know, like that would not be the fan base I would pick to get that done. That was Barcelona in July. It's hot. People want to drink a lot of beer. October in Tulsa. I'm doubtful. I'm doubting them.
Yeah. Also, pretty good little story here by the AP. A Montana man was mauled by a grizzly bear earlier this year. 5 weeks ago, he was mauled by a grizzly bear. Not that part's not really a good story. Yeah. Including the grizzly bear bit off the front of his lower jaw. Okay.
Good God.
Dear.
Yeah. He got attacked by a grizzly, but he is getting out of the hospital and he has recovered. He has survived the grizzly bear attack. And one of his goals is to get healthy enough to attend next month's rivalry game between Montana and Montana State. He is a Montana State fan, and his daughter said because of the grizzly attack and the Montana Grizzlies, he's developed a whole new hatred toward the University of Montana.
I can appreciate that. Mm-mm-mm. I mean, the last thing you want to do is, you know, you see Montana with that, don't they have like a grizzly paw on their helmet? It's going to bring back some bad memories. That's for
definitely.
Sure.
Yeah, there's some PTSD on that.
Yeah, the Brawl of the Wild. That's that game, right?
If you've been attacked by a mascot, should you root against that team? What if it was a bobcat that mauled him? Would he switch? What is the etiquette here? Hadn't thought of that. Not a lot of grizzly bear survivors, survivors. So,
yeah.
But I would be pretty. I don't like a grizzly if he's torn off my jaw.
Yeah, right. I mean. No. Is anybody nicknamed the Sharks? If I'd been the victim of a shark attack, I would root against that team for the rest of my life.
Do we have any Sharks out there?
You know, like hockey, San Jose Sharks.
San Jose Sharks,
We have any snakes?
Ooh.
The Snakes.
You know what?
Why don't we have snakes? Snakes is a great mascot name.
Florida A&M Rattlers.
There you go.
Long Island University is the Sharks.
Oh, there we go.
Well, okay. Okay.
So, yeah.
Who knows? All right. So we got all of that going. All right. Let's pick some games. Ross, you're in the lead 25-17-3. Sean is 24-18-3. I think both of you guys are sending scouts to film.
There's no doubt about it.
Film picks of other podcasts. It's not allowed. Man. Yeah. They're definitely.
Well, you can close your investigation in 6 years and penalize us in 9 years. Yeah.
I am at 20-20.
That's enough. I think we've pretty well covered the leaders. You know, let's move on to the picks. Let's move on to the picks here.
Pat is the inverse of Ross. You're just obeying the rules.
That's it. See, that's it. You play by the rules, you get penalized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is it. 17-25-3. All right, big game.
I'm going to have to audit Sean's bookkeeping to make sure screwed.
Sure. You're under investigation. We know you earned your record because it's pretty much an annual thing. But
and we
good
did
luck.
Say we didn't specify what the case is, so could
case,
say
it's
case
a case of
Lance.
Whatever you want.
case of Blanton's. Hell no.
Blanton's.
Oh my God.
That case of beer.
We didn't specify.
It has always been
specified. I was thinking
specified.
Blanton's, maybe a little Tanqueray, case of Tanqueray.
Case of COVID. You know. I can give you a case of Blanton's.
Case of COVID.
purposely try to get COVID so you can give it to him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Number 7, Penn State at number 3, Ohio State. the non-scouting bowl. We'll see.
Oh, Dan, I believe you're attending that game.
I think so, unless I decide to go watch the Michigan.
Well, yeah, right.
I am attending it. I think I'm going.
So I. And what I mean, the press box, that is going to be the entire chatter before that game. What about Michigan? What about Michigan? What about, can you believe that stuff?
It's going to be how about the both coaching staffs in this game are distracted right now, refreshing the internet, looking for more Michigan details, undoubtedly.
Right.
So just listen. Hello, Coach Day, Coach Franklin.
Yeah.
Glad we could be here for service. Ohio State's given 4.5. The game's at noon. Big noon kickoff. Fox. Massive game. Like I said, talked about it more last one. Pat 40, who are you picking to win this game?
Yep. Dan wrote a column about it. I wrote a column about it. Great game. Fascinating game. Penn State badly needs it. I think Penn State can get it. I'm taking Penn State in the points. My one concern. Two concerns, really. They have not played very good offenses, and you know now can they handle the receivers that Ohio State's going to throw out of Marvin Harrison, Emeka Egbuka, and Cade Stover, who is extremely good at tight end. The other thing, Penn State's defense is a little bit so far like Georgia's was in 21 and 22, where they've been so dominant they haven't played very many snaps. They've gotten ahead by a lot. They've rested guys. They've rotated guys. You get into a high-tempo 75-snap game, and you might run out of gas the way Georgia did against Alabama in the SEC championship game in 2021. So are they ready for that? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say they're ready for the whole thing, and Penn State finally gets off the schneid after losing 6 in a row to Ohio State. They don't just cover the 4.5. They win outright.
We're going to go with 4.5. I've seen it bounce around a little bit, the line, but at 4.5, I agree with Pat. I think Penn State covers the 4.5 and has a really good shot to win the game. I think defense, the combination of Penn State's defense and the struggles that we've seen from Ohio State's offensive line and at times quarterback, I think the Nittany Lions can shut them down enough to not just cover, but maybe win the game.
Yeah, I think Penn State is definitely the sexy pick in this, but so far this season, those have not been very favorable. So I'm going to go with Ohio State covering that 4.5. I don't love it. I don't think it's what I'm rooting for in the game, but just for the spread here, I'll take Ohio State.
This game reminds me of another great moment in football when Charlie Brown would try to kick the ball and Lucy would pull it away. Every time he thought he was going to get it, every time they had better teams, better this, better that. I will say this, probably the first time Penn State's had a better quarterback in this game. And that could be. Drew Aller is very good. But Nittany Lions have to prove it to me. 4.5. This is Ohio State. This is Ohio Stadium. This is Penn State. You're going to have to show me you can do this. Keep it within 4.5, maybe, but I will take the Buckeyes to win and to cover this spread. And I'm not. There's never a regret when I'm picking Ohio State at home. They're getting guys back. Whatever they have not been showing lately, I think they'll be a little better offensively. They don't have to score a million points in this game to be Penn State. Penn State's not going to score a ton of points. I like the Buckeyes in this one. All right, rematch from last year, revenge game. Number 17, Tennessee at number 11, Alabama. Crimson Tide, 9-point favorites. This game is at 3:30 on CBS. Nice little boom, 1-2. We got great viewing windows. We got another game, and Duke, Florida State's at night, and Michigan State ought to be a circus. That's at night. Great day for watching football. 17, Vols, number 11, Tide. Ross, your thoughts.
By the way, the Michigan State game kicking off at night? Is it like the first night game in the rivalry?
I think it is.
No.
Well,
no. There wasn't trouble with the snap game. Wasn't that a night game?
No, that was just late
at night.
It was just late. Okay.
Somebody like mentioned that to me.
There might have been
done the research.
I think it's the first one at Michigan State. Maybe there might have been. I don't know.
At night. Okay.
It always ends in the dark.
Tennessee, Alabama. We're going with 9 as the spread. That seems incredibly high. And so I'm going to say Tennessee will cover that. I'm not sold on the Vols and Joe Milton. They've got problems. Alabama has problems too. Two problem childs meet. And so I think it's a tight game, probably an ugly game. So give me the Vols to cover and not win, but some kind of like 17-14, 21-17 kind of game.
Yeah, we're on exactly the same wavelength there. I think Alabama will win, but I think it will be close, low scoring. You know, the biggest change in Tennessee year over year is that the defense is much better than it was last year. They've done a very good job on that side of the ball. They're not as explosive. Both quarterbacks are inconsistent. Alabama cannot protect Jalen Milroe, and maybe he doesn't protect himself too well by holding the ball too long, but Tennessee can get after the quarterback. They're 3rd in the SEC in sacks, so I foresee this being a low-scoring, close game. Bama wins, Tennessee covers.
I think Alabama really wants to get their get back after last year's festival of shenanigans post-win for Tennessee. It's just a huge number, and I don't know if all of the wind has been taken out of the sails yet for that Alabama fan base on this season. I don't know how. I mean, I'm not going to draw their ire. I will go with. I'll go with Alabama to win. Tennessee to cover.
I'm taking Tennessee to cover. Alabama hasn't been able to blow anybody out. They should have blown out the last 2 weeks. They did not. So I'll take Tennessee with all those points. But I expect Alabama to win the game, and the redemption season is on. Number 16 Duke at number 4 Florida State. Seminoles giving 14.5. Game is at 7:30 on ABC. Huge game in the playoff chase for everybody, because if the Seminoles go undefeated, they are probably in. There's still a nightmare scenario where you could have all 5 conference champs undefeated. Not out of the question. It's a little more reasonable this year than most, but there's a big one for Florida State. Pat, we're back to you.
Yep, and if you want to bet this game, wait until close to kickoff to see whether Riley Leonard is playing for Duke. Quarterback, very good, kind of the heartbeat of the team. I was incredibly impressed that Duke won by 3 touchdowns without him last week in a game in which Henry Beelen, started at quarterback and completed 4 passes, and they still won by 21 points. But this is Florida State, and this is Doak Campbell, and with the quarterback uncertainty, I am taking the Seminoles to win and cover the spread. And, you know, if Leonard doesn't play, maybe the cover spread by a lot.
Yeah, it just seems like a huge number to me, more than 2 touchdowns. And I know Riley Leonard might not play, and it's at FSU, but I think Duke is good enough defensively. I think they're averaging giving up less than 300 yards a game. I think they do enough to keep it tight, certainly tighter than 2 touchdowns. So Duke to cover, Florida State to win.
Duke has been solid for me this year covering the spreads. 14.5 is a big number. I think Mike Elko wants to go in there and set the tone. Riley Leonard or no Riley Leonard, I think the spread's too big for that defense, so I'll go with Duke.
A little hook, man, that little hook. Mm-hmm. They just do. Mm-hmm. This is what they do to you. I will take Florida State. I think Saturday night in Tallahassee is a unique one. All right, we have number 14 Utah at number 18 USC. 4 ranked on ranked games. It's a good one. 8 p.m. on Fox. USC is giving 7 points. Ross.
Yeah, how will the Trojans respond? They got spanked in South Bend, and Utah always is that team, right? We talked about it earlier this season on the pod, that Utah will be the reason the Pac-12 doesn't get a team in the CFP, like it always is. They'll come up and strike, and I think this is it's kind of one of those situations where I could see Utah not just covering but winning the game. So give me the Utes to at least, at the very least, cover. I think they got the answer defensively now. Notre Dame kind of put the blueprint out there. Hey, this is how to stop and slow down and force into mistakes, Caleb Williams. So give me the Utes, plus 7.
For sure. I'm with you on that. Having covered both of the USC-Utah games last year and watched Utah just physically punk USC, I'm not getting off of that. And I know it's different personnel. Utah's offense isn't as good, but they did run for 317 yards last week against California. And I think that they're still just physically tougher than USC is. Maybe USC will win, but I will certainly take the Utes to cover the 7, and I think there's a decent, very good chance that they win.
I don't think Caleb Williams plays as poorly as he did in this game. I think he'll adapt, adjust, and be a little more prepared. But Utah's defense is still going to keep them in this, and USC's defense has shown zero improvement. So I will take Utah to cover as well.
I'm going to take Utah, but this is tricky because I don't know. USC's problem last week was offense and the turnovers and just put them behind the eight ball against Notre Dame. Maybe their defense was better and just didn't do it. But I've seen this play before, and Utes and 7 I'm going to take. So we're all going Utah. I could have had lone Trojans at home. Tempting, but did not go with it. All right. We have got unranked, but Clemson at Miami. Clemson is giving 3, 8 p.m. on the ACC network. Good luck to you for that. These two teams could use a win. desperately. Pat, your thoughts?
I have no idea what to expect in this game. I really don't. But in that circumstance, you go with the consistent program, and that's Clemson. Still don't love their offense, but their defense is lights out. And Miami showing some glass jaw tendencies, coming off 2 straight losses. You would expect them to play at their peak intensity here, but I just don't trust them. So I will take Clemson, give the 3, and have no idea how this will turn out.
My whole perception of Miami and what Miami was going to be this year changed because they didn't kneel the ball. and they played like crap in that game, right? Anyway, and it just changed how I view them. And even though Clemson has been struggling, it doesn't seem like they're still got it figured out on offense at all. But this seems like a really ugly, low-scoring game. And I'll take the Tigers to cover at Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah, this is another good classic toxicity bowl. One coach can't get fans in the stadium. One coach doesn't want his fans in the stadium. So who do you? I'll go with the home team, Miami, covering the 3. That's
golly. Yeah. Just a struggle.
It's the Pepper X game. We replaced fentanyl.
I heard from a couple of listeners who had to turn the last pod off. Couldn't listen to the last 5 minutes because of the pepper story.
Oh,
so amazing coincidence! The pepper, the company that handles that guy runs,
yeah,
Pepper X. It's in business with Diag Partners that I'm always mocked. They thought I was trolling them. My friends at Diag Partners, Custom Staffing Solutions.
Oh, God.
They actually handle their payroll or something. I don't know. Something going on. I was like, there was a big tumult at the pepper. I don't know. Just stay away. They were like, you want us to send you some of the pepper? I'm like, no.
No.
Don't want the pepper X anywhere near my house. No.
No.
I'll have to be laying in the rain. Anyway, I think Clemson's pretty good. I don't think Miami is. So I'm taking Clemson. Oh, that's all I got. This is a terrifying game. Sean, diabolical putting that on the rundown, so we have to pick it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough.
That's a tough one. All right, who's got a lock of the week? Anyone do any research?
I did. My locks of the week have been largely terrible, so I'm kind of switching my strategy a little bit. And I'm going to just try to pick a good team that's playing at home. How about that? Revolutionary.
Good strategy.
Oklahoma, they've had a week off to get over themselves from winning Red River. UCF coming to Norman for the first time. UCF not playing well. Has gone on these unbelievable streaks of just giving up points. They gave up the last 35 against Baylor, and then turned around and gave up the first 31 to, I believe it was Kansas. That's not a very good defense, I don't think. So I think Oklahoma's going to roll it up big. The number, I believe, is 17.5. Sean can check that, but give me the Sooners to cover the 17.5.
I talked about this game earlier at Washington State at Oregon. Oregon, a 20.5 point favorite. I know it's at home. Washington State has struggled the last couple of weeks, but Oregon just coming off of that emotional game. And, I think these teams are closer than three touchdowns. So give me the Cougs to cover on the road.
I'll provide a bit of an update to an ongoing saga. The beard bet continues as last week's Oregon-Washington game pushed. I got 3 points because my opponent touched up his neck beard, and that was the punishment. The new game, we had to roll it over. Toledo versus Miami of Ohio, actually. I have the Rockets, so I will go with the Rockets covering 1.5 versus the cowardly Red Hawks.
Cowardly.
Wow. So the biggest you want to roll the dice is trying to figure out Michigan State 24.5. Wolverine's giving 24.5. That could go in any direction. I am not touching that. I'm gonna take Missouri giving 7.5 against South Carolina. Hasn't been able to get it done. They just blew a big lead against Florida. Missouri's playing very well. They're home. I think there should be a good crowd. I think there's a lot of enthusiasm there. I think we'll build the emotion. We know Shane Beamer has got a broken foot. He kicked a Gatorade. They're saying he kicked a Gatorade jug. So you might think the Gatorade jug is empty. And then if it's not.
A full Gatorade jug.
You're not moving that thing.
Yeah, would break your foot.
Yeah, it would break your foot. Yeah, they literally fill those like things up basically and use them as barriers on the highway, right? Like. Yeah, so I've been impressed with some of the running and the passing for Missouri lately. I think they're rolling. I think they get to 7-1. I think they win by more than 7.5 points. So I'm going to take Missouri as my lock of the week. All right, we'll be back on Sunday to break down all of the mayhem, all the ridiculousness, provide updates on any other scandal that pops, and we hope you will join us. It'll be out sometime late Sunday night or at least Monday for your commute. Subscribe so you don't miss a single pod. Continue to tell your friends about us and share us on social media. And also, the NBA season is right around the corner. Never a better time to sign up for a fantasy basketball league with some buddies or even some strangers. It's not fantasy football. Maybe you don't got a whole bunch of guys who want to do it. Doesn't matter. Yahoo's got you covered. Draft your league at yahoofantasy.com or in the Yahoo Fantasy app. We will be back. We'll talk to you later.